Wait, that's it? I start? Okay. Shalom, everybody. So, that's a lot of people. I want to start by thank you, Pastor Bill, for letting me invite myself to beautiful Hawaii. Israel is at the very other side of the globe, apparently. And yet, you can travel a lot and still feel, you know, among friends. And that's what you guys make me feel like. I am a married guy. My wife's name is just like mine, Amit and Amit. We were both normal people 4 kids ago. And yeah, I've been a tour guide for the last 15 years. I'm also an author. And now also the head of a new organization called We Walk Together. Until 10 days ago, I was also a lieutenant colonel in the Israeli Reserve Forces. My job is actually the best job in the army. I don't need to take life, but save life. We are in the home front, search and rescue. That's what my unit's supposed to do, to help civilians defend themselves against incoming rockets, and they have a lot of those. So it's been quite a hard 3 months on the state of Israel. Those beautiful young kids right over here on the pictures are from my town. Two of them were murdered in the first day of the Hamas-led assault on Israel. Their crime was to participate in a music festival that was suddenly attacked. And the soldier over there, his name was Ben, Sharon, 26 years old, Kim, 22 years old, and Ben, who lived 3 houses down the road from my house. Major Ben was killed in combat in Gaza, and I dedicate this evening to their memory. So before we continue, actually, Pastor Bill, it's customary in Israel to light candles to honor the souls of the victims. So if you don't mind, I want you to do that. Yeah, pray for their memory and the memory of 1,500 Israelis that were killed so far.
We do thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your goodness, Lord, that you pour out. Lord, you tell us that greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for a friend. And Lord, these three, Lord, who had their lives taken, Lord, just for the sake of being free in Israel and for protecting and enjoying life of freedom, Lord, we do just thank you for their memory, and Lord, we grieve over their loss. And not only them, but including them in the hundreds that have died in this war, this senseless war that Hamas, just the brutality of Hamas, Lord, it's just unconscionable. Lord, we just can't, it doesn't compute in our mind. Lord, as I'm looking at and thinking of those commentators, Lord, that, and some of these even people here in Hawaii, you know, they're pro Hamas, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And Lord, to really understand what Hamas is, one of the very wise individuals in a talk show was saying, because they are using the term Nazi for the Jews in trying to defend themselves. And this very wise apologist mentioned one thing about the Nazis: when they were slaughtering Jews, they had to go back home and get drunk and try to forget what they did and do it again. But Hamas, they don't do that. Some of the horrible things Amit's going to mention, they don't try to forget. They call up family members and friends and tell them what they did, because they rejoice in these things. Lord, you see it. Lord, it grieves us. It hurts us. But Lord, the memory of those that those three here, Lord, as we look at them, we see them. We don't know them, Lord, but we realize, Lord, that their lives were taken senselessly. And so, Lord, we do just pray for the families. We pray for the loved ones, Lord, and we thank you for their life, Lord, that was cut so short, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that your hand and your mercy and your goodness, Lord, just be with that family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. This war was really an unexpected one, or in a way it was a very expected one, depends how you look at it. It caught me on a vacation with my wife and kids and a few friends in the Upper Galilee, in a very beautiful place, and it was 6:30 in the morning when all that hell was unleashed on Israel. They called me to service in the army 40 minutes later, and I had to drive like crazy, dropped my wife and kids in a friend's house. I could not take them to our house because my house is only 20 miles from Gaza, and there was a storm of rockets all over the area. So I dropped them somewhere near. The people who were with me will remember Caesarea, so not far away from Caesarea. We have some friends, and then I drove, and the next couple of weeks were pretty intense. So right now we call it the Gaza War, but honestly, I don't know how history will call this war. I am used, Pastor Bill, to tell stories that happened 2,000 years ago, or closer events like the Six-Day War that happened just 55 years ago. But this is a war that is still ongoing. I have a brother, a sister, father-in-law, and half of my friends are still in active duty as I speak here in Hawaii. And although the beach here is gorgeous, my mind and my heart is far away from here. It is also the first time I'm telling an historical event that I took a small part in. And just to think that as I was having excellent sushi, by the way, yesterday, my wife had to grab the kids and run to the bomb shelter because there was a rocket siren in our area. Thank God nothing happened. So if I'll get this thing work, technical support. Just one second. Nothing? Okay. How are you guys? It's all okay? Is it something I said? There you go. The thing. Okay. So a little bit of historical background. The state of Israel is a modern state of a very ancient nation, right? It's the only Jewish state on earth, except perhaps Brooklyn. And it is more or less at the size of New Jersey, the state of New Jersey. Should I try? It's not working yet. Funny, it worked perfectly before that. What have I done? Do you want to grab that and try? I'll give some historical background in the meantime. So it is the size of New Jersey, and it is completely surrounded by other states in the Middle East. Okay, so Israel is bordering Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. So if you think you have a complicated neighborhood, think again, okay? The Jews in the state of Israel, my people, are less than 8 million, while we are surrounded by close to half a billion Muslim Arabs who are not exactly members of the Zionist movement, okay? All Israelis must serve, therefore, in the Israeli Armed Forces, in the IDF. That includes men and women alike. Okay, that includes everyone. My mom served in the army. Everyone. And we are facing in the last couple of decades, we're facing a bigger and bigger problem of the enemies of terrorism. What is the word terrorism means? Try to terrorize, right? It is, we're on? Excellent. I trusted you and I knew I can trust you. Okay, this is the Arab-Israeli conflict, basically. Do you see a lot of Arab states, not a single democracy, and tiny Israel right in the middle? Okay, I made this slide just to quickly overrun, like, if they will ask you, when all this conflict started? Well, it depends who you ask, okay? Because you have Jewish history, Holy Land history, Islamic history, you have the fact that it's always his story. And yes, I'm a proud Israeli and I will give you my point of view. If you want to see the Arab point of view, you're welcome to activate CNN. And the Arab-Israeli conflict is also major part around it, okay? But we will move, other way. We will talk a little bit about Gaza itself. Many people consider Gaza as just a city, okay? But Gaza is actually a whole area. It's a small region, very, very dense, very, very populated. And you can see the Gaza over here, okay? This is an area known as the West Bank, where you have a lot of Palestinian autonomical zones. But we are focusing in Gaza. And look at all the urban areas in what is known as the Gaza Strip. Okay, do you know that it's one of the most, some would say the most populated zone on Earth? Okay, with close to, some would say even 10,000 people to one square kilometer. Okay, I'm sorry, my dear Americans, we use the matrix system in Israel because it makes sense. It's around 0.6 miles for 10,000 people. Okay, with birth rate, while they're claiming that we're performing genocide, and they keep saying that for decades now, the Arab Palestinian population is booming. Okay, in the last 80 years, they increased their numbers 10 times fold. Okay? And don't ask me how they do it. 4 kids and I'm losing it. But now, a little bit about Hamas. Pastor Bill mentioned the name Hamas several times, and it's important to know, okay? So I'll try my best to pronounce it in Arabic. Harakat al-Muqawwama al-Islamiyya, which means the Religious Islamic Resistance Movement. It is basically a local Palestinian version of ISIS. You heard of that wonderful organization, right? Not exactly the Peace Corps. And I made this slide filtering actually the code of law written by Hamas. That's what they say that their goals are. Okay? They basically want to eradicate the state of Israel. Where do you think the Jews are supposed to go if there is no more state of Israel? Maybe under the ground, right? As dead. They want to create an Islamic state in the most radical way you can think of, Sunni Islam. They believe that violence is the way to liberate Palestine, as they call it. And they believe, truly, they're using a lot of anti-Semitic language that I hear also in American media, unfortunately, from time to time. Things like the Jews control the global economy or control the global world, okay? If I would be a Jew that controls the global economy, I would fly business, which I didn't, okay? All those lies basically build up into a whole horrific ideology. Now, let me ask you this. Many people claim that most of the Arabs in Palestine or Gaza, whatever you want to call it, are under Hamas occupation. It might be true for a handful of them, but do you know that survey after survey proved that most of the Palestinians supports Hamas? What happened when they had free elections, the first and the last time, 2006? Who won? Big time. Hamas. These guys. So the attempts to separate Hamas from the population are very problematic. You can try to do so,
But you need to understand that Hamas is not just a physical organization, but it is an ideology. It's an idea. Ideology from ideal. People follow that as an ideology. Here, you see this bunch of people over here? Those are the leaders of Hamas. Some of them sits inside the Gaza Strip, especially this one, Yihya Sinwar. He is the architect of the massacre. Okay, and Muhammad Death, that he is the supreme ideological leader. The rest of them actually sits in Turkey and Hamas, except this one who is now dead because some blame Israel for his assassination. May his soul rest in pieces. The Hamas budget, do you know that Hamas budget is one of the largest terror organizations' budgets on earth because they have their own little piece of land? $2.5 billion is what we know of. And all of that goes to, well, take a look. Education. Look at those cute little kids right over here. They're teaching them from age of zero, basically, to be Hamas militants. Okay, and then when they're youth, look at that. That's the Hamas version of Boy Scouts, I guess. They are smuggling in enormous amounts of weapons. Okay, just the rocket launching ability of Hamas exceeds some of other states on Earth. And they're building gigantic tunnels. Those are Israeli soldiers after a tunnel was captured and cleared. Look at the size of this thing. That's a lot of money. Some of that money, by the way, comes from your pockets, just to make you feel great. And if you ask how come, well, America is the biggest sponsor of the United Nations. And the United Nations have its own agency that takes care only of Palestinians. That's TMI, as they say, so you can ask me later. But do know one thing. There is a Palestinian refugee, and there is any other type of refugee on earth. And the Palestinians are allowed to inherit their refugee certificate, which means a lot of support and money to their kids, grandkids, etc. Okay? Hundreds of millions of dollars are invested in the support of the poor people of Gaza every year. Do you know that the United Nations put more money in the Gaza Strip than the Marshall Plan to renovate Europe after World War II? Okay? And here you have it. Oh, of course. No lecturer in America can ignore Oprah Winfrey and Taylor Swift. Okay, and I'm using them here just to compare their net worth and the Hamas leaders that are much richer. Okay, it is also showing you who we are dealing with. Those people are the scum of the universe. And while many of the Gazas indeed, look at the poor slums over here, many, many people in Gaza truly live in poverty, their leaders, they drive Ferraris in Qatar. Their kids are in the best universities, some of them in this state. And it goes on, okay? The bigger picture is very, very clear. We have a Middle Eastern state the size of Texas and Alaska combined, called Iran. Some of you know it as Persia, okay? Iran is controlled by a radical regime that is obligated to the most radical ways of Islam. And I love this character, look at him. Fly, my proxies, fly. Iranians never fight directly. Hundreds and hundreds of American soldiers were killed in Iraq, over thousands, and in Afghanistan because of Iranian proxy activity. Do you know what it means, proxy? It means that you're using small organizations to hit your enemy. For the Persian, an Arab is like a plastic cup, and then you throw it away. Their lives are meaningless. They're just tools. And if you look at the map of the Middle East, you can see that they have active proxies in Iraq. They are attacking American bases, probably as we speak, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Yemen. And I wrote a whole booklet about the Iranian foreign policy. And I'm afraid I was right. Those proxies are not just for decoration. They use them. Okay, you guys know what's going on in the Red Sea? Houthi rebels and all that? Those are not rebels. They control a third of the state. And they are shooting missiles and threatening one of the busiest cargo shipping lanes on the planet. 13% of the cargo stopped because of Iranian proxy. And you can see what they love stepping on. You guys see it from there? The American flag, that's right. Okay, it's an act of hating you guys. They call my people the little Satan, and America, the great Satan. Should be proud. Okay? And look at those folks over here. Hezbollah, by the way, this salute. That reminds you of something? Okay, just... That's definitely not the Marine Corps over there, right? At the same time, while the Iranian proxies have been creeping closer and closer to Israeli borders, especially in the last year, Israel was very busy in self-hatred. Pastor Bill, does that sound familiar? Like America, Israel is divided, or should I say was, because this war unified us. Okay, Benjamin Netanyahu, the veteran prime minister of Israel, in order to survive, built a very, very problematic coalition, to say the least, surrounded itself with ultra-Orthodox, with the most radical settlers, and other people that creates a huge, huge rift inside the Israeli society. Take a look at this picture over here. This is around the Knesset, the Israeli parliament. Those are Israeli protesters. You see the Israeli flags that they are all holding. This terrible struggle inside Israel brought down the economy, brought down the self-defense abilities of Israel. And I'm talking about events such as reservists. People in Israel all serve in the army. And because we are such a small state, you need to understand the only way we can build up forces large enough to stop the Arabs, if and when there is a war, is by calling everyone to reserve. Okay? People like me, I'm supposed to be a tour guide. I think in our tour, I went to the army for 1 or 2 days, right? So many people started threatening and that they will no longer serve in the Israeli armed forces. And the Arabs smelled weakness because Israel hated itself more and more and more. Now, we did every possible mistake in the road to understand what Hamas is planning. First of all, Hamas itself, the Palestinian terror organization of Hamas, did impressive job. Let me ask you, how do you bypass or make yourself disappear or camouflage yourself against, have you ever heard the name Mossad or Shin Bet? Those are the Israeli secret services. Well, they are relying on a lot of technology. So what do? You use very low tech. Only notes, only personal meetings, no cell phones, nothing. In fact, we now know for sure that only 70 people inside the Hamas organization that has 250,000 altogether, not all of them are combatants, knew about the attack. Okay? And indeed, when they organized the attack in the last hours before it really happened, only then they started giving the commands by notes. So even the terrorists themselves that participated only knew what they are going to do. They didn't know that there is a bigger picture. Despite that, I mean, there were warnings. Oh, of course, we allow tens of thousands of Gazans working in Israel, in construction, in agriculture, whatever. We didn't know that many of them are, or maybe we knew, but we chose to ignore, are Hamas members. Or at least the information they bring back home went straight to Hamas. Guys, they knew where intelligent officers live. They knew in which room there is a weapon in certain houses or where the armories of the first responders are, so they could run straight there in the attack to take them out before they'll arm themselves. Israel also ignored several warnings, especially from those girls in the picture. We call them tatzpitaniot, which means observations, basically. Their sole job is to look at those hundreds of cameras around Gaza and just monitor the border. Those girls saw that something is wrong. They smelled it. They saw it. They saw the Hamas commanders looking with binoculars at the border. They saw the enemy training, and their warnings were ignored. Okay, a female intelligence officer managed to put her hand on one of the Hamas blueprints of the attack. She gave a list that, if you read it, the blood freezes in your brain, in your veins, because she guessed what they're going to do. She was ignored. I was in Pearl Harbor just a day ago, and we talked about how many signs were ignored by the American military. We did the same thing. And it's so sad. Our Prime Minister Netanyahu is definitely to be blamed. Okay, he ignored general, he didn't get a specific warning, but he did get a lot of general warnings from the head of the army, the head of the intelligence corps, the head of the Mossad, and the head of the Shin Bet, which is another secret service, just without the PR of the Mossad. They warned him that the continuation of his radical policy will create eventually a war, because they knew that the Arabs see weakness and they attack. Okay? Maybe it's a lesson to America as well. A house divided, who said that? Lincoln, right? House divided will not stand. Anyways, this is something that I think the Israelis will investigate for the years to come. Also, just hours and days before the attack, Israel moved more and more forces from the Gaza Strip, believing that we have no danger of war, to what is called the West Bank. My friends, two platoons of elite soldiers were sent out of Gaza 24 hours before the attack. 200 elite soldiers. Imagine what they could do. But they moved them away because they believed, maybe we convinced ourselves, that it's all going to be okay. Kind of like what happened to America. Who would dare to attack Pearl Harbor? Right? That was the conception back at the day. People could not believe it's going to happen. Okay? Ukraine, by the way, 2.5 years ago, refused to believe that the Russians are going to attack. Do you know that when Russia attacked, Ukraine didn't mobilize its army yet? They had every warning on earth. I saw it on the evening news. They did not believe. I think it's a subject for 50 books in the future. Eventually, only 800 or less soldiers were around the Gaza border. Okay? We left a little less than 800 soldiers with no artillery, barely any tanks or any weapons to really speak of except sidearms to protect the most hostile border of Israel. Eventually, the attack did came, okay? And when it came eventually, that was the terrible bloody Shabbat, as we call it. The Shabbat is the holy day, holy resting day. The enemy chose to attack during the Feast of Tabernacles, when Israel is in a day of prayer, soldiers are in vacation at home, all the system is basically sleepy. You can see the result from a satellite picture. Do you see all the black of the burned out fields? Tens of thousands of acres. This is the main enemy thrust around the Gaza Strip. You can see the border of Gaza from the satellite. Now, this border is so obvious from the air because Israel built a fence. And woof, we loved the fence. We convinced ourselves that the fence will defend us. That fence was indeed impressive. Cameras, sensors, turrets with automatic machine guns on top. It was a very high-tech structure. The problem is that when you have a high-tech structure but there are no people manning it, it doesn't worth a lot. Okay? The attack came at 6:30 in the morning. We're talking about 3,000 rockets. As the people who took me around, every time now I hear a siren of a police or something, I jump because it kept sounding all the time. I'm just thinking about the PTSD and traumas we need to take care of when it is all over. Those rockets alone, by the way, in the first 4 hours killed more than 20 people. The most terrible one was a rocket that flew straight into a Bedouin Israeli family's house, killing a mother and 5 children. Okay, that was just the beginning of the massacre. The Hamas militants used, and they played their cards very well. This fence I just told you about, they managed to neutralize it in around 5 minutes. Missiles into the cameras or sniper shots into the cameras. They took a drone. You all have drone back home? That little thing? Well, it's very easy to attach a hand grenade to it or a little bomb. And that thing flew over the sophisticated $1 million worth towers of the Israeli army and blew up the weaponry installed on top. Within seconds, all defense was basically obsolete. It was still very easy to stop them if there were soldiers ready there, but there were no soldiers waiting for them. Okay, the IDF had no warning that is going to happen. There are rumors, I cannot prove it yet, that you guys know what cyber warfare is? I do know for sure that a lot of power shutdowns happened around the Gaza Strip at the same time. I put a question mark here because they're still investigating it, or they just want to hide it from us, of what happened. And 2 waves of 1,500 militants. Guys, I'm talking about soldiers. They're terrorists, but let's call them soldiers because from top to bottom, they had state-of-the-art equipment. Okay, including a lot of bulletproof jackets, tons of ammunition. They had tablets attached to their legs to give them their specific mission and coordinate. Each militant knew exactly where he is going to. They used motorcycle pickup trucks with heavy machine guns to move very, very fast, and they did what we call in the army swarming. When you have tons of different small attacks, the command center is just losing control. And they were smart. They also attacked the command centers, and we'll talk about that. They also came from the sea, okay? Where's David? David? Hello. David, you mentioned the Japanese manned torpedoes. Well, they used the same thing, actually, and they showed up from the Mediterranean Sea on waves of dozens of, we call them swimmers. It's a Navy commando, basically, of Hamas. And this is part of, I don't know if you guys saw the pictures. Those are the rockets fired from Gaza. Look at the size of those. They used also motorized parachutes. So they basically flew above the fence. Again, the fence. Okay, and landed inside civil communities. Some of them landed right in front of the armory where the Israelis were supposed to run, the first responders, to get their weapons. Why the weapons were inside the armories? Because the police thought it's safer to put it there so they will not get stolen from the houses. Who will steal them from the houses? The people from Gaza that worked in those houses. You see how it is all coming together. The motorcycles and those Toyota pickup trucks allowed them to reach as far as 30 miles inside Israel in several places. My unit's command center was attacked 30 miles away from Gaza by a few dozens of those guys. Okay, those are the drones with the bomblets and a lot of artillery support. All that hit Israel all at once. And you're talking about, let's face it, one of the biggest failures of the Israeli army, okay, that I'm part of. And the army failed to respond in time. The soldiers were outnumbered and outgunned. The command centers around Gaza were attacked. Some were completely overrun. And you can see even this famous picture, Time magazine, by the way. Those are Gazans celebrating. Does that tank look destroyed to you? Looks intact, because it is. Okay, they managed to capture Israeli vehicles intact. It is just showing you the level of the surprise. Does that sound familiar, my friends, that lives a mile from Pearl Harbor? Okay, same thing in a way. But there was one big difference. We're now showing you the failure of the IDF, but the atrocities happened not in front, not against the IDF a little bit, because they kidnapped and raped a few female soldiers, but they went on the civilians, my friends. And the things they did there, the things I've seen in my own eyes, Dante's hell cannot describe. Okay? They slaughtered whole families. Okay? This family came from my village, the Kuch family. They found them hugged together. They shot all of them and then burned the house on them. The bodies melted into each other. So they were buried together eventually. They slaughtered children. They beheaded children. They beheaded babies. Israeli soldiers entering those communities found babies. The enemy hanged their bodies from the laundry wires. Okay, they found piles of organs that were piled up together. They found a pregnant woman that was butchered in her beautiful pregnancy belly. And they cut out the baby and shot both of them. They found women that were raped, then they were shot dead. The worst happened here, in the Re'im music festival. Okay, Israel was so certain that all is going to be okay that we allowed 4,000 people to celebrate musical festival for peace 2 miles from the border with Gaza. How much time a Toyota pickup truck needs to pass 2 miles? 5 minutes? 4,000 people celebrated peace here, mainly young, naive Israelis like Sharon, like Kim. And this by itself is the biggest terror attack Israel ever experienced. Okay, 367 kids were butchered. Okay, usually the men were the lucky ones. In one case, and I'm telling you this story, although it's horrific, but you need to understand what they did, okay? Because a lot of young, beautiful Israeli girls fell alive in the hands of those, I don't want to call them animals, because animals don't do that, demons. In one case, they got this girl, they cut her breasts with a knife as they were raping her. They tossed her between them. One of them, she died already. He shot her, and he still kept raping her dead body, covered in her blood. Okay, they were in frenzy of hellish killing and torturing. The women were found raped and dead, cut down to pieces in some places, tied to trees. Now, you need to understand, those animals, demons, had hours to do it, because their friends blocked every possible approach to the area and set down ambushes to confuse the Israeli reinforcements that tried to help. In this attack, by the way, 56 police officers were killed, giving their lives trying to save those civilians. Every house they managed to capture, they attacked 22 communities at the same time. Every house was set afire. They used Russian-made fire bombs. It's what we call thermobaric weapons, fuel bombs, basically, to ignite and to blow up the houses. Every car was destroyed. They burned everything they could on their way. I've been inside this graveyard for the cars of the victims from the party mainly. 1,100 cars. Looks like that. They towed them away and they brought them all into this field. This is my picture. Many people, by the way, ask, who is this? This girl actually survived the massacre. Okay, but you can see the horror in her face. Because a lot of people just managed to escape into the fields and were saved eventually. Those were the lucky ones. After the first attack, rumors spread very quick in Gaza. How? Cell phones. The terrorists started uploading what they did. They called their parents, as Pastor Bill said. And the parents were like, God, Allah bless you, son, for what you did. And they started posting it. In many cases, by the way, women who were raped and killed, their families received the video because the Hamas used their own cell phones to send it to their mothers and fathers. And when the rumor spread in Gaza that there is raping and looting, within minutes, thousands of Gazan civilians, as they call themselves, started spreading like locusts on the attacked communities, looting, burning, killing, raping, and brought a lot of goods. Like, look at those guys. They just plundered bicycles from one of the communities. This is an old lady kidnapped in her own golf car back to Gaza. And many of the so-called civilians, look at that. What is this? A rifle. Okay? But sometimes they consider them as civilians because they have a pair of jeans. In times of horrific events, that's also the time of heroes. Okay, because a lot of people just took initiative themselves. We lost 3 colonels. Colonels are not supposed to fight on the front. But those 3 colonels, brave men, were killed leading tiny forces of 3, 4, 5 soldiers. They just took whoever they could and ran to Gaza to try to save lives. This kid over here and his girlfriend saved 15 people because they kept going back and forth with their car into harm's way to save people out of the party, okay? And that's just one example. Other Israelis did that as well. First responders from the kibbutz communities that were attacked, those 2 guys survived. They're the only 2 men that stood alive out of 15 first responders in kibbutz Be'eri at the end of the battle. This girl over here saved lives with her ambulance. And you see those not exactly young guys? High 5-star generals. That's the Israeli version. They heard what's going on. They retired for years. They grabbed their pistols and drove like crazy to Gaza, managed to build up improvised units of fighters, and started fighting the terrorists. Okay, this guy over here, Yair Golan, not only fought the terrorists, but used this tiny little Fiat to save lives. Because he kept going in and out of the communities, taking out civilians out of harm's way. Those are the sheroes. Okay, the role I'm going to do in this journey in the United States, I will do this lecture as well, just about the role of the women in this war, from victims of sexual assaults to commanders of whole units. Those are just examples, okay? Those 4 girls are tank crew, okay? Israeli girls do exactly what the boys do in the army. So not every Israeli is like Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, but maybe they are. Okay, or maybe I should say not every Israeli is Gal Gadot, but every Israeli woman is a Wonder Woman. Okay, those girls drove like crazy in their tank and saved a whole community, killing 50 terrorists on the way. This officer here gave her life, killing 3 terrorists, and managed to save her entire unit. They managed to run away. They were unarmed. She was the only one with a gun. And eventually she gave her life. The terrorists managed to take her, killing her. This one here was killed protecting a boot camp that was under fire, gave her life. Look how young they are. Okay? This girl over here, she's actually a kibbutz member. Kibbutz is an Israeli commune. She somehow had a hunch, or maybe it's a miracle, Pastor Bill. Something told her that, like a hunch, that something is wrong on that morning. She ran like crazy, knocked on doors, shot in the air, took people out of their houses with a handful of guns and rifles and pistols, set an improvised defense on the kibbutz, and managed to take out 25 terrorists with no casualties, saving her entire community. Okay? True hero. This one over here smiling, she's a doctor. But I'm talking about combat doctor. Okay? Not like my doctor, Dr. Cohen, who'll give you aspirin even if you lost an arm. No, no, I'm talking about doctors that will go in and inside Gaza with paramedics to save lives. That's what she's doing. This one over here is a helicopter pilot. You guys know what a Black Hawk is? She flew back and forth under fire. The Black Hawk looked like shredded with bullets after the first day. And yet, she managed to save life, flying people into the hospital. And this one over here is a machine gunner who managed to take out a few terrorists that infiltrated, actually, the base I belong to. Okay, that's just one example. But everyone in Israel knows this one. Her name is Rachel, Rachel. But we all call her Rachel Ugiot, Rachel Cookies. That's her business. A bunch of terrorists entered her house in the town of Ofakim. You know what she did? She said she called them the bulldogs. Okay, by the way, many of the terrorists took drugs before the attack. Speed, amphetamines, you name it, like the Nazi soldiers used to do. Okay? And they entered her house bloodthirsty. She didn't freak out. She started calming them down, serving them cookies and tea and water. And as she went back and forth from the kitchen, she communicated quietly with her son, who is in the SWAT. And her son, after she calmed them down, they lowered their guns. And then her son and a bunch of other police officers stormed the house and saved her, taking out the terrorists. So guys, don't mess with Rachel Cookies, okay? That's for sure. At the end of that day, Israel managed to take back almost all the communities, two more communities, Be'eri, and mainly in Be'eri, actually, it took two more days until the area was eventually liberated, okay? This one over here, she is the first battalion commander. She is a commander of 1,000 soldiers. She fought for 14 hours straight. This is a true picture taken during the combat. Look at the houses, at the bullet holes. This is the upper building over there. I hope you can see it. Is the police station of Sderot. The Hamas knew what they were doing. They went straight on the police station. Because if you take out the police station, you create chaos. Look at the building when the battle was over. I was there a week later. There was nothing left of it. Crazy. But eventually, Israel managed to liberate all its communities. The deadliest day in the history of my people happened, I guess, in my shift. We lost. It took a long time to understand even what happened. Those are the faces of victims of all ages. But in that day, definitely women paid the highest price. Okay, 778 civilians were murdered. 301 soldiers were murdered or killed. Among them one, and that's painful to think about it, one platoon of elite infantry was butchered in their beds by Hamas. Do you understand the size of the surprise? And many more were killed during the combats. 55 police officers, it's actually 56, 10 Shin Bet agents, that's Secret Service, 248 people were kidnapped, 3,300 were injured. The population of Israel is 40 times smaller than the population of the United States. So imagine that you guys going to lose in one day 60,000 people, and you're going to get 4,000 Americans kidnapped in one day. That is the size. There is not a single Israeli who did not lose somebody on that war day. Terrible day. It was by all means not a one-sided battle, okay? The Hamas militants lost many of their men, 1,500 of them, and 203 were captured. They will be put on trial. In Israel, there is no law for allowing you to execute unless the prisoner is genocidal, like Nazis. And I think they answered that criteria. But we'll have to wait and see. And several hundreds of the terrorists were killed as they were retreating in Gaza, because eventually the Air Force did show up. I forgot to mention it, I think. There were no airplanes in the sky. When I arrived to my unit, we kept looking at the sky and we kept saying, where on earth is the Air Force? The answer was on the earth. They were supposed to be in the air. Only two helicopters were fighting for the first few hours. The next 3 weeks almost were very, very confusing and complicated and painful. Gaza started exchanging artillery duel with Israel, rockets. We fire on them, they fire on us. We use artillery, we use airstrikes. The only kidnapped Israeli, there she is. Okay, her name was Megidish, Shani Megidish, with her mother. She was liberated in a special operation. Look at her face. Is she happy? That's her mother hugging me. She look happy to you? Okay, she was raped by her captives that kept her inside a civilian house, a family. Sometimes she was raped in front of the mother of the rapist who lives there. And I guess had no problem with that. In one night, her captives fell asleep. She snuck into their phone, contacted her mother and sent her the location using Google Maps. And she saved herself, I guess. I don't know if she'll ever come back to what she was before that. This is the American support, okay? President Biden arrived to Israel during the war. It's his 11th visit in Israel in his long career. And the American army started supplying Israel with basically whatever we need so far. And you guys even send quite a few of your gigantic warships to the Middle East, trying to limit the war, but at the same time, some would say, limit Israel's ability to finish up the job. And we'll talk about that later on. Okay, a lot of weapons came. This is actually how my sister took this picture. She was in a trip she's a tour guide. It's in the family. She was guiding an Israeli group in Crete, which is in Greece, and you could not find a jet to come back to Israel. Not because there were no jets, because they could not find a ticket, because everybody wanted to come back to sign, to enlist to the army. So the army started sending those C-130s. That's a nice way to come back from a vacation, right? In a C-130. Joint government, it's important to mention, was created in Israel, and a lot of volunteers started working in the fields, because where is everybody? In the army. Or a lot of foreign workers just fled the country. And a bunch of Americans showed up from Iowa as cowboys. Those guys are not Jews. And they came to help. The Miami police and firefighters sent volunteers as well. Thousands of people. Okay, you can hear English all over my village now because of volunteers. Not all of them are Jews. Many are Christians. And they come and they pick, guys, I don't know if you ever picked up pomegranates or grapefruits. That's not an easy job, okay? I guess it's easy for those guys, but God bless them. Okay, everybody joins the army. if I compare Israel to Russia for a second, Putin with all its might, you all know Putin, right? Not personally, don't look at me like that, but you all know who Putin is. In his war against Ukraine, he needs cannon fodder, right? He needs men. He struggled for months to get 300,000 soldiers into his army from a population of 150 million. Tiny Israel, in 24 hours, mobilized 350,000 people to the army. The house divided is no more. Okay, in an attack like that, everybody joins the army. And this is an example of one Israeli family. Everyone in the army. That's my sister, Noam, captain and a paramedic. This is my cousin, Michal. That's my dad. Hey, Abba. 72 years old, okay? For him, it's natural. My dad is not a human. They made him of parts of dead soldiers, I think. He was always in the army, all his life, okay? Omer, my cousin, who is in Gaza now, God protect him. Okay, combat reconnaissance, left his newborn baby and went to war. Oded, my brother, his second daughter was born in the day of the massacre. He gave her a little kiss and off to war. Okay, this is Danny, my best friend, who is supposed to be in charge of all my organization, going to work with Latin Americans and Latinos in America. And he's the Spanish speaker, and we can't even call him now because he's in Gaza as a medic. That's my father-in-law. At the age of 72, he's hugging Naomi, my daughter. At the age of 72, this lunatic took his jeep and decided he forced the army to get him back. And they did. The army wanted a handful of jeep drivers. In a few days, they got 900 jeep drivers. Volunteers, and this guy knows every inch in the country with his jeep. Elliot, my family from the Bay Area, and his brother Ari, who now lives in Denver. Elliot have two kids, Ari have three, and a pregnant woman in the house. They both served as volunteers in the Israeli army many years ago. They left everything behind, flew to Israel. Okay, Elliot finished serving 3 months in the Lebanese border. Ari is still in Gaza. God bless them. So it shows you that literally everybody takes part. This is, I used my family, well, because I could. But you need to understand, everybody's like that. We are not an exception, okay? And I'm probably missing out some cousins that be very angry on me when I'll come back. But it's okay. When you have so many people joining the army, suddenly you figure out, oh my God, we're missing a lot of gear. What on earth is this? If you'll ask people that were born after the year 2000, they will not even know. Okay, who is using a watch? I bought this watch during the war. Nobody's using those. And in Israel, for weeks, there was a major shortage of watches. You see, when you go into war, when you go into Gaza, the first thing you do, you got to give up your phone. No phone, guys. Can you imagine what it means for a 20-year-old? Okay, so they had to, because the enemy knows everything. If you have your phone on you, they know exactly where you are. But you think Iran is not providing them intel? Of course they do. So watches instead of cell phones to know the time. Israel found out that it's missing tanks. We don't have enough tanks because we thought that AI and all the computers will do all the war for us. Well, guess what? So they called a bunch of reservists, those two guys, they're from the evening news in this part. They manage, okay, let's just say this. A bunch of tanks that were supposed to be scrap by then was standing rusty in a base. Those old fat reservists show up, look at the tank, and then they said something like, give me a pair of hammers and Diet Pepsi. And within 1 week, they managed to fix 100 tanks and send them to battle. And who is manning those tanks? Those guys. In their 50s, a few of them are in their 60s. Some of them are high-rank officers. They took their ranks and volunteered to drive the tank. Okay, it is showing you the spirit. That's my father-in-law's unit and all their jeeps. And what is this? Drones. Do you think only Hamas can use them? People brought their drones from home, and the Israelis, if we're good in something, we're good in improvising. Okay, they installed cameras and anti-electronic warfare antennas and bombs, and you name it. Okay, I think some of them can make you coffee if you want. And the drones are changing the way we fight wars. Okay, everyone should understand that. So both sides can play that game. And volunteers, look at all the equipment. Okay, Pastor Bill, I'm in the worst physical shape I've ever been because I'm eating Doritos and junk people send me for weeks during the war. Okay, the amount of food that people donated is just unbelievable. Let's keep going. During those weeks and months, the other side is playing its cards. You're talking about huge pro-Hamas supporters. This is one of my favorite, Queers for Palestine. It is like chickens for KFC, okay? I've seen a man in a dress. Liberate Palestine. Do you know what they do? Do you? They throw homosexuals off the rooftops in Gaza. They murder them. Okay, it is showing you that the amount of ignorance, maybe even automatic anti-Semitism, so much hate, and they shout things like, from the river to the sea. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Where is Israel in this slogan? Dead, including my babies, my children. They don't understand that. Ask them, from what river, from which river to which sea, they'll be like, I don't know. Sometimes they stand and they shout, Intifada, Intifada is call for violence in Arabic. And they're shouting it without even knowing what it means and what are the values of organizations like Hamas. And the universities, my God, the universities of America, Ivy League, Shmivy League, all that. Billions of dollars, do you know where they came from? Qatar. From Saudi Arabia, from Iran. Poisoning the minds of the people. Do you know how it feels in Israel? You fight for your own life against genocidal organization while around the world they call my people Nazis. The Nazis killed my entire family in the Holocaust. What are you talking about? And it just continues, okay? And the suffering is huge in Israel. As I speak here with you, all the hotels, Pastor Bill, including the hotels we used during our tours, are full of Israeli, I like the word, displaced. What is displaced? You get thrown out of your building, out of your kibbutz community, and you find yourself in a little hotel room. Yes, it's paid by the government, thank you very much, but those are refugees who lost everything. Okay, 160,000 of them. Don't forget how tiny Israel is. We talked about the Houthis in Yemen. They closed down major shippings in Israel, so Israel is practically, or at least partly, under siege right now. American bases attacked in Iraq and Syria. We talked about that. Israel forced to reinforce the Golan Heights and the Lebanese border, and we stretched thin around Israel. You have clashes in the West Bank, and at the same time, the United Nations, is, do you know that as we speak, the International Court of Justice is going to investigate if Israel is performing genocide in Gaza. Okay, if we wanted to perform genocide in Gaza, we would do it long ago. And even after what they did to us, we are still providing them water and we allow food to get in because we don't want to be like them. Okay? And yet at the same time, my people are being persecuted. There aren't police outside of those doors. And I'm going to have security in every lecture I'm going to do in America now. This is America. What if I'll try to do it in Europe? You need a tank to protect the entrance. And something hideous that really, really shows you how biased the world is, the global women's rights organization, Me Too and all that, they failed to do anything despite evidence of mass rape of Israeli women. Okay? Maybe because they're Israeli. The ground assault on Gaza started eventually in the night between October and November, October 31st. At night, first the Israelis moved into North Gaza Strip, because we figure out that if we will not uproot Hamas as a functioning organization, they will just do it again. They say so. Okay? And the battles are horrible, my friends. We're talking about suicidal enemy that fights from within kindergartens and schools. They do it on purpose. Have you ever heard of the famous tunnels in Gaza? I mentioned them. Well, so far they found 1,500 kilometers. That's almost 1,000 kilometers of tunnels. The New York subway is a third of that size. Okay? Think how complicated that is. They show up, fire an RPG or use a sniper, and they disappear inside a shaft that sometimes can be located underneath the children's bedroom. And they have no problem. People who massacre and slaughter babies have no problem sacrificing their own. Okay, there is no separation between innocents and combatants. No such a thing in the other side. Nasty war. I think my wife is a psychologist. She works for the army. She says that the soldiers, nothing prepared the soul of a soldier to fight against civilians. I don't know if I have Vietnam veterans here. That might give you the clue. Or Iraq. When you fight hostile population, okay, Gaza City is all but destroyed completely now. Look at the amount of weapons. What do you see here? Correct, it's a hospital. Okay? And it just continues as we speak. There was a pause in the war. I'm sure you heard about that. Israel did a, like you want to call it, prisoner swap, you can. I mean, some of the kidnapped women and children, most of the children and most of the women were sent back to Israel, giving horrible stories of what they did to them, tying them up, starving them, sexually assaulting them. But still, great joy that they came back. And it was not for free, okay? Israel gave up prisoners that were supposed to sit life or at least many years in prison because of what they did. Those are convicted terrorists. Like, for example, this princess over here. You see her? She is a Hamas terrorist. She smuggled the bomb into Jerusalem, but the bomb started burning inside her car. When she was trialed, she demanded Israel to provide her plastic surgeries on the expense of Israel. So those, which, as you can see, she didn't get. But she's now a hero in Jerusalem, by the way. Pastor Bill, she lives not far from the people she probably wanted to kill in the city, okay? But we took that chance in order to save our people. But Hamas is still holding 136 Israelis in captivity. I don't know how many of them are still alive, or I don't know what they have been through. Many of those women, by the way, still in Hamas hands, they're probably pregnant from the seed of Amalek. It will be soon too late. Let's not talk about that. It's too terrible. Okay, the war continued after that prisoner swap. Israel is now, this map is not fully updated, but Israel is controlling most of North Gaza, pushing the enemy further down, creating let's face it, horrible suffering of the Palestinian population that is still in most chances, in most cases, support Hamas even now after decades of indoctrination for it. But yes, suffering is suffering. Okay? Many of the people in Gaza are on the brink of starvation, but nobody starved to death yet because Israel is allowing humanitarian support in. Okay? Which some Israelis, by the way, claim is a mistake. But who am I to judge? And rest assured that America is also asking politely to keep feeding them. Okay? Hamas is using mainly guerrilla warfare, but the pressure on Israel to slow down is increasing. And I don't know if you're how close you're following the news, but it is slowing down. Okay, the war. I just hope for Israel's sake that we will not stop before we uproot Hamas, because we will just invite another attack if we will fail to do so. Okay, but I'm giving you my personal opinion right now. The war continues and continues. The amount of weapons is insane. I've seen weapons that can fill up this large hole. Where are the weapons coming from? China, yes, Russia, North Korea, and a few are like improvised weapons that they produce in Hamas. But yes, Russian weapons, Iranian weapons, Chinese, North Korean. Those are the weapons. Oh, and a few weapons that came somehow from Ukraine. God knows how they smuggled them in. The clashes, by the way, continue. I put her picture because I heard time and again, especially Americans, claiming that all the Jews are white and they suppress the poor Palestinians. Well, guess what? We have 200,000, well, how should I call them? African-American, Israeli? What would be the right way? They are Israelis. Okay? May her soul rest in peace. She was killed in clashes in defending her country in the West Bank. Okay? Her name was Shani, Scarlet in English. Ethiopian. All the Hamas militants, from the moment Israel entered Gaza, do you see this guy? He's firing a projectile. You guys call it RPG, rocket propelled grenade. And he's doing it in civil clothing. Okay? All the numbers they show you on the TV, accurate or not, numbers of casualties in Gaza, you need to understand, they count all the dead terrorists as civilians. In a crazy way, they are. They don't have military number. Okay? But for sure, Hamas took all the uniform out, and they're only dressed as civilians now. In some cases, they pretend that they tried to surrender. They used to do that to you in Iraq, and then they blow themselves up. Okay? Including the use of elderly and children. In Israel, we started calling them children. Okay? Now, what do you do if you're an Israeli soldier and you have beyond the alleyway what we call RPG kid? A kid that can fire a rocket. You don't need a big finger to press a trigger. Okay? What do you do? What it will do to your soul if you have to kill a child in order to save your own life? I mean, it will play with your head a little bit, but those are things we'll have to deal with in the years to come. I am sure of it. We need to continue. Just one thing I want to show you. This is a huge protest in a town called Dearborn, Michigan. It says, Islam will dominate the world. Liberty can go to hell. Okay, this beauty is part of anti-Israeli rally. Just saying. This is the apartment in Lebanon where somebody launched a drone that took out number two in Hamas. I need you to understand that the Israeli-Lebanese border is hostile and hot. There's artillery duel there all the time, including as we speak. And there are 80,000 Israelis displaced. They cannot go any closer to the border, including some of you were with me in Dan. Remember ancient Dan? We were there. I'm sure you were there a few times. Dan is empty. It's a military zone now. Nobody can go any near it. Okay, the 1,500 people who lives in that kibbutz are now displaced, all of them. Okay, and that's how Iran is keeping part of the Israeli army tied to the Lebanese and the Golan Heights, the Lebanese border and the Golan Heights, because otherwise they will attack from there. It's always a bigger picture, my friends. Here's the gang, right? The Russian bear and the Chinese dragon and, of course, the Iranian Ayatollah. We, Israel, is fighting the smallest member of this gang, Hamas, with only 40,000 armed militants and who knows how many civilians that back them up. But it's always the bigger picture. And there is a danger that it will escalate into an all-out war against Iran. I don't know if it will ever happen, but this is it for now. My lecture pretty much is over there, the historical part, because history is made as we speak. Okay, I dedicate it again to those dear neighbors of mine, Ben Shelley, Kim Damati, and Sharon Gordani. That's his last selfie. He sent it to his father a few minutes before he was killed, okay, trying to take shelter with a friend. He was saved. He got shrapnels from a grenade from here to here. Crazy miracle that the guy is still alive. I mean, I've seen, by the way, a few crazy miracles, okay? I've seen a soldier that got a bullet in the... He had a little Song of Songs book here, and it saved him. I've seen a soldier that got shot in the head and the bullet somehow span and just knocked him out. My own wife one day had she heard a voice telling her, get in the house. She went into the house and I found a shrapnel where she stood when I came back from the army. Yeah. And I wanted to take a picture of it, but my mom thought it's a piece of junk, so she threw it away. Unbelievable. Okay. Yeah. War stories and my mom. What is next? Those are just questions that, you know, those are hypothetical questions. If it will deteriorate into World War III, maybe. Remember that the books are saying that the final war will definitely start in my place, okay, in Israel. Maybe we're seeing the beginning of it. Maybe not. I don't know. I know that the price is horrible. That's for sure. Maybe Israel will end up occupying Gaza. Who knows? Maybe not. For sure, Israel is more united than ever. For sure, we will not let this thing happen again. And things will never be the same. I will never be the same after this war will end. Why the baby is smiling, do you know? The baby Shaked saw the picture of daddy, David, who was a reservist who was killed. This was taken a few hundred yards from my house in a military graveyard. Okay, it is one of the pictures that symbolizes the war. This mother, this young mother, will have to raise the child as a widow. Okay, we have already 500 of those and counting. Price of war. Just to finish with that, and then we're going to show a short video, I could not just finish my RV service and wait for tourism to come back. This time I felt that it is time for a change. It is time to make a stand. And if there is something I know how to do, I'm a storyteller. And I decided to dedicate my life in the future to come to fight the lies. And if there is something I could do, this is it. So last week, actually, I officially opened We Walk Together. It's a new organization, nonprofit, that will deal with Israeli-American relationship. We're going to put a lot of effort on African-American and Latino communities. And actually, thanks to you, Pastor Bill, thanks to you all. This is my first lecture in this journey. I have some Israeli partners that are still in the army, so they cannot even back me up. This is the team that is not in the army right now. Okay? We're going to see a short video of her. She is the face of the organization. I think you can understand why. I have a face for radio. So Gal is going to be in charge of social media. This is Neil, who is my... we are related, but he is also a tour guide. Aaron Cordell, a pastor. And this gentleman over here, Carl Moore, I pray that he will feel better. He's in the hospital. COVID turned into pneumonia and a crazy story, but he'll be okay. They'll fix him. They fix everything. Aaron was the head of the EPA under the Trump administration, and he's going to back me up in this great project and provide a lot of American connections. I think this is it. Oh, my goodness, I almost forgot to thank my wife. I meet the girl for... She initiated all of this, and she's taking care of those four wackos while, yeah, that's us visiting New York City. You heard of New York City? So that's her, and I thank her as well, of course. I better. And this is it, basically. So what did you do? That's not mine. Thank you. Can we play? We're going to see now.
Oh, hello and welcome to We Walk Together, where we are all about bringing people, well, together. We are on a mission to connect all of you from the United States and Israel, building friendships and understandings along the way. Our goal is pretty simple. We want to help people learn more about each other's cultures and history. You know why? Because we believe that when we know more, we can work together better. So here is what we're up to. We will be learning together. We host talks and seminars about the US and Israel so you can get to know each other's stories. And how about meeting new friends? We bring folks from Israel to the US and vice versa to build friendships and understanding. We love to talk and we are all about conversations. We get community leaders talking to each other to bridge gaps and share information. And who doesn't want to explore cultures? Ever wanted to visit Israel? I know you do. We organize trips so you can experience the culture firsthand. In a world of fake news, we provide reliable information about what's really happening in both countries. We walk together, online and everywhere. We use social media and our website to share stories, articles, and updates. We believe in sharing knowledge. Our website is full of articles and resources to help you learn more about the past and what's happening now. We are all about celebrating differences. We promote programs where different cultures can come together and learn from each other. And I've saved the best for last. We believe in connecting communities. We work closely with African American and Latino church communities in the US to learn from each other's rich traditions. I can't wait. So join us on this journey of discovery, friendship, and unity. Let's build bridges, understand each other better, and celebrate our shared history and values. Visit our website and be part of We Walk Together. We are waiting for you.
This is it, basically. I can take questions if you want. I can even answer the questions if you really want to.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you stand? And I'm not sure how many want to do the question answer, or we just have, if you want to leave, you can. But if you want to stick around, you can as well. So... why don't we do this? If you want to go by the pulpit and talk there, I will have you come up if you want to ask questions, and I'll hold the mic so we don't have a long conversation that you give. So why don't you sit down? If you want to ask questions, why don't you line up here, and then Amit, you could go by the pulpit.
Yeah, about We Walk Together, since it's the very beginning, you're more than welcome to support us by following us, by visiting our brand new website, and we're providing the link for the GoFundMe campaign. You will see that I already donate $5.80 just to check that it works. It's brand new. All right.
You can use that mic. I'll use this one. All right.
Hi, Pastor. I'll hold it. Sir, is it on? Hi. There was some talk a month or so ago about the possibility of flooding the tunnels. Did they give up that idea because the hostages?
I think they tried this
I know that they tried. In the central Gaza Strip, I think it's too far from the Mediterranean Sea to bring the water there, and it's still ongoing conflict. Right now, they use basically explosives to get rid of those tunnels.
How long can the Israeli economy last under these
conditions? That's a great question. This war already cost more than $80 billion to the Israeli economy, which is not that big. How long can we last? In self-defense, you last how much, you just keep fighting. But I can tell you that many of the reservists, like myself, are already being released because the main abilities of Hamas are broken. So I don't think this war is going to end anytime soon, but as I see it, it is kind of like slowing down, becoming more like a bloody, endless campaign. So, but it's a good question. It's going to be a very hard time for the Israeli economy.
Anybody else? If not, I'll ask a question or two.
Just behind you.
Stand here, that way I know who you are.
Hi, thank you for coming. I just wanted to ask how is like in regards to U.S. government support to Israel. I'm only asking this because I'm not sure what's going on our side of things. How is the U.S. government trying to support Israel around this time now? In this difficult situation with Israel and Hamas?
There are basically three ways you guys back us up now. One is in the international arena, in the United Nothing. You guys, United Nation, I'm sorry. That's America has a veto right. So you guys actually stopped the Security Council for basically cutting us out of the world economy by boycotting us. So that's a very important support. Second support is military hardware. Some of it will not be free. Some we will pay for most of it, but there is still a lot of American assistance and jeeps, for example, that we figure out we don't have enough. And there is also military presence in the Middle East. That's part of a bigger game, though. Israel is in the small league, after all. But we're part of a bigger game, Is it going to continue? You could see that the generous hand that President Biden, he did like that at the beginning of the war, nobody can take that away from him, but I feel that this something is taking that hand back. What it is, I don't know. I'm just an Israeli storyteller, but it is probably related to the American politics, which is exactly why I will stop answering your question right now, for the sake of myself. Yeah.
Question. Since your enemy comes in civilian clothing, how do you win this war? How does it look like to win this war when it's basically...
Forever.
I mean, we talked about the idea, you talked about it, it's an ideology from the womb.
You're right.
Right, so... How do you...
You're right. I don't know how we can win this war. I really, really don't know. I can tell you one thing, though. One more question, no problem. But let me answer this. We cannot just sit down and wait for them to do this thing again. So to take out their military abilities, that is possible. To take out the idea, how? I really don't know. It's so sad, so very sad, but it does not mean that we will not defend ourselves.
Oh, actually, I have a few more questions, but I'm just going to ask one more. Actually, it's not a question. It's I want to know something that I'm hearing is that on October 7th, there should have actually been from five different positions, there should have been five enemies. It's something I'm kind of hearing.
Yes.
Is this true?
Yes. Hamas broke the line. Hamas broke what Iran is preparing for Israel. Some would even say that we should thank Hamas for taking us by themselves. I'm pretty sure Hamas believed We had our misjudgment of reality, but so did they. They thought that all the Iranian proxies will join, which only partly happened. The Iranian plan was horrible. They wanted to send Hezbollah, Hamas, and their proxies from Iraq, Syria, Yemen, basically an all-out war against Israel, maybe even firing themselves from Iran on us while they are racing toward nuclear weapons. If a regime like Iran will have nuclear weapons, but Hamas, I think they were too bloodthirsty, and that party, that stupid party that Israel decided to do, they could not resist the temptation to slaughter. That's one of the reasons I think they attacked. But yeah, by doing that, they basically disrupted the Iranian plan to attack.
Yeah. You can ask after. Hi, thank you for coming. You mentioned a few times that there were instances where the special forces were pulled away within 24 hours. Those at the fence were maybe pulled away as well. I know it was Holy Day, it was Feast of Tabernacles, but you did have a slide up there that said the Shin Bet, quote, smelled a rat. Was that referenced or was there an indication?
A few hours before the attack, the head of the Shin Bet had a gathering. They thought that there is going to be some kind of a terror attack. Nobody thought it's going to be that big. So they send a team of around 20 special anti-terror force, 20 guys. It's called the tequila team. I guess they love tequila. And they send them down to Gaza. Half of them died on that day. But when they sacrificed their lives, they managed to stop one Hamas column that was heading to central Israel. And just think what this terrible question of what if will haunt us forever. What if we would send not only those 20 guys, but I don't know, 500. But it was too late anyways. And the head of the Shin Bet is probably going to resign when it is all over. His career is finished. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I think your question was very good, because when you think about Hamas, they can just retreat back into, you know, for a while, you know, hide out for a while and then do what they're going to do again. But say you do clear out the majority of the terrorists there, who is going to control Gaza? Israel doesn't want to.
The answer is very easy, Pastor Bill. I have no idea. I don't know.
That's a hard one.
I don't know. Israel don't want Hamas. We don't want the PLO. I don't think anybody knows. The American regime, the Biden and Blinken and all those guys keep repeating the same mantra of two-state solution, two-state, because stop it. I mean, it's not working. They don't want a two-state solution. But I don't know what to say. I don't know who will control Gaza. Nobody wants to control Gaza except Hamas. They will probably create some kind of joint temporary control by the Arab League or something. Maybe.
I know one of the things for Christians, when we study the Bible and look at Revelation and look at what Jesus says, it just talks about in the last days, difficult times will come, which literally is no way out. What is the solution? We don't have a solution. And then, of course, when we talk about there will be a man of sin that'll rise up and will make a seven-year covenant with Israel, who will have a solution, supposedly, Arab-Israeli solution. You know, that is the thought, but then 3.5 years into it, it'll break that and demand to be worshipped as God. So I think it's one of those things where if you did drive them out, where will they go? They'll just be in waiting, coming back. Who will control Hamas in that area? It is a very difficult thing, and you know, the answer to that is we don't know.
This is in regards to the trauma. So I know, you know, many of us are praying. We love Israel. We love the God of Israel. We love the Messiah of Israel. And this is, so quick question, real quick, related to trauma. We're praying for Israel, but we want to know too, what are the neighbors? What is Israel? What's the leadership? What are they doing as far as trauma? You said your wife is also in psychology. What are they doing?
She's married to me. That's already a trauma by itself. But my wife is working around the clock. You know, a trauma is such a complicated syndrome, I guess. I know that there's already a wave of suicides, of heart attacks, of hospitalization in, like, because of psychotic events. One soldier woke up from a nightmare a few days ago and started shooting. It was a miracle that he didn't kill his own friends. And he actually emptied a magazine and nobody was hurt. Like, they got some scratches. But this type of a war will leave a scar in the society and the souls of people for such a long time in the future. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, Amid. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shmi Paka. And Torah Baba for all the information.
Wow.
I love the Jews. The Bible commands us to love the Jews. The Bible also commands us to those who curse the Jews will be cursed. Those who love the Jews and do the things for the Jews will be blessed. So my question is, are you a Messianic Jew or?
What is a standard Jew? Like a Jew, yeah.
Are you a Messianic Jew?
No, classical Jew, old school.
Oh, okay.
Born and raised.
You study Torah.
I'm studying Torah, but as a tour guide, I probably read all the Gospels more than most Christians. Yeah, but learning Christianity. Yeah, but learning Christianity is what I do, or should I say, what I used to do? That was my last career. Yeah. Not yet.
Thank you, Paka. Yeah. Anything else? Any other questions?
Last one. Last but not the least.
That's all right.
Quick question. So why does Egypt and the other Arab nations as well, why aren't they letting Palestinians, if they're civilians who truly are not in the war, why are they not allowing them in? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the Arabs actually said that themselves. They don't want them because every country that ever received large parts of Palestinians experienced uprises and violence. Kuwait had it. They supported Saddam Hussein when he attacked them. Jordan almost collapsed in a civil war called Black September. Lebanon fell apart when they came in. And in Syria, the only Sunnis that supported Iran and the genocidal regime over there were, guess who? The Palestinians. I think the last thing the Egyptians want is that the Palestinians, and especially the Gazan Palestinians who were indoctrinated by Hamas such a long time. Are you looking for a job? I know an organization called We Walk Together. We are hiring.
Why don't we stand together and let's pray for Amit. But I think one of the situations, the geopolitical situation in the Middle East, you have to realize some of these nations, these Arab nations, Dubai and some of the others, they don't want Iran to succeed in this because they're afraid of Iran. They're afraid of the radicals. So primarily, you know, they're against Israel. They want Israel gone, but some of these other more nominal or liberal Arab nations, they want to, maybe they don't say it, you know, publicly, but they don't want Iran to succeed. They don't want these radicals to succeed because they know they may be next. So, you know, you've got that dynamic as well. But yeah. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for Amit. Thank you for his family that has allowed him to come over here. I pray that you keep him safe, Lord, and we just thank you for this excellent talk on what went on, Lord, in the last 3 months, Lord, and how we can pray for Israel and how we can pray for those that are still fighting and those that have lost loved ones, Lord. So I do pray that you protect him and open the doors for venues for him to speak at. Lord, I do pray that you support, have those come alongside to support his new venture and those involved. And Lord, we just thank you for truly Jesus Christ, Lord, who is overseeing all that takes place in Israel, in Hawaii, throughout the world, Lord. Even when it seems as though things are totally chaotic, Lord, you're in charge. Lord, you are doing things. Lord, I believe it is. We're close to the last days. We're close to the Messiah coming back to reign and rule. But until then, Lord, let us be faithful for the gospel in sharing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for coming out. God bless.